Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. The Bible says that where the twos and the threes are gathered, God is in the midst. And God is here this morning. Anyone believe that? Hallelujah. As soon as you walk into this atmosphere, you feel the manifested presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And God dwells here because you and I are here. Amen. We are the carriers of Almighty God. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. You know, I heard this story this morning, and I just want to share it with you. You know, the writer of the song, John Reddick, he went into a Chick-fil-A. And, you know, he wrote the song, God Turn It Around, or he was one of the writers. And he went into a Chick-fil-A, and a couple met him. And he said, hey, you're the writer of the song, God Turn It Around. Guess what happens? When we hear your song, this is what we do. So there John Reddick is trying to buy his chicken sandwich, and this couple is like, when we hear your song, we just put her hands up in the air. And the lady went on to say that, listen, one Sunday morning, my husband told me he was going to leave me, that he found the love of his life, and he was going to walk out and go and build a life with that woman. And she said, I decided to come to church that morning. And the song that was this, the worshipers, what they were singing was God, Turn It Around. And she put up her hands in that service. And she believed that God will turn it around. Hallelujah. The same man that says that he will walk out on her. The same man that says that he was going to leave. That he found a love of his life. She raised her hand and believed that God will turn it around. And you know, God did turn it around. Hallelujah. And that day in that Chick-fil-A, it was her and her husband. God did a work in their life, and he turned it around. And the Bible says that God will turn every evil around for our good. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Isn't that beautiful this morning? Amen. And I just want to put up this picture. You know, it is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. Can you just put that picture up, guys? It is a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm sorry, this isn't a very clear picture, but you know, a lot of times we think we're this guy. We're Christians and God is with us and we can make it on our own. Amen. Amen. But look what happens. The enemy chases after the lone soldier. Amen. And here is the church. Where there's numbers, there's safety. Amen. And I want to tell you, you're in a good place today. You're in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're in a good place today. Hallelujah. Come on. Everyone's dead today. You're in a good place today. Hallelujah. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. And today, my sermon is entitled, One Life to Live, Don't Waste It. One life to live, don't waste it. You know, everything that's birthed will die. Everything that's one guarantee in life is death. Once there is life, there will be death. And another person said, another guarantee is taxes. But we know that once you live, you're going to die. Amen? And the life you live now defines your eternity. The life you live now defines your eternity. Heaven and hell will follow. Amen. Heaven and hell is sure. And today, I want to encourage you, do not waste your life. Amen. Do not waste your life, but sink your life to the purposes that God has called you for and for your life. Amen. God has called you for a purpose. You do not have time to waste today. We see what's happening. Look at that shooting in Texas. 20 kids, 19 kids died. Third graders and fourth graders. Who would think that in a school you send your babies? One of the safest places you could be is in a school. But there isn't safety anywhere anymore. And I'm here to encourage you, whether we're young or whether we're old, there is a set time for our life. I want to encourage you, do not waste it. Don't waste your time. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, "See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today for your word, oh God. I thank you for your truth, oh Lord. I thank you, dear God, that you will bear witness on every life represented here in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that this word will fall on good ground and it will bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. It is not time. This is not the time to waste. You know, we always hear the preachers of old, they always preach the coming of the Lord is at hand. Take heed. Look up. Redemption draweth nigh. And we do not hear those messages anymore. We hear the prosperity gospel, and that's a good thing because God is out to prosper us. Amen. God is out to bless us. One characteristic of God that we can never over-exaggerate is the goodness of God. Amen. And yes, God wants to prosper you. And yes, God wants to bless you. And yes, all of these good things. But you gotta think that life will end one day. What are you doing with the breath that you have right now? Time is not promised unto any man. And can I tell you something today? We are closer to redemption than we've ever been. Amen. If the preachers have been preaching it for all these years, don't you think we're closer now than any time before? You know, according to archaeologists and historians, we're living in the day of man. You know, the Bible says a thousand years is like a day with the Lord. And a day with the Lord is like a thousand years. Amen. And if we should date creation properly and not the lies that they have told us, we would see that we're living, the earth is about 6,000 plus years old. 6,000 plus years old, which means that it is the day of the man. On the sixth day, God created man. But then comes the seventh day when God rested. Amen. No one knows the time and the hour when the Lord will make his appearance. But what we do know is that on the seventh day, God rested, which means that redemption of the earth is coming. Hallelujah. The time is at hand. I want to tell you, do not be as unwise. Look up. Redeem the time. Hallelujah. Let us understand what the will of the Lord is today. My first point is, do not take time for granted. Luke 12:16-21 says, this is Jesus talking, giving them the parable. It says, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whosoever stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Amen. Jesus gave the parable of this rich man, and then he followed up. This wasn't just about that rich man. This wasn't just his story. The Bible says that Jesus told them, this is how it will be with whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever means everyone that comes after this rich man. Whosoever means you and I. Whosoever stores up things for themselves, it will be like that. If we store up things for ourselves, but we're not rich towards God, we're not rich towards the things of God. You know what that rich man could have done with his extra? He could have said, you know what? Let me give Tom down the road because Tom doesn't have enough. Let me pay Tom's rent. Let me bless Tom. Let me bless Mary. Mary down there is starving, begging on the street. Let me help Mary. But no, he wanted more for himself. When God bless you, it is not just for yourself. It is for you to be a blessing. We got to stop living life selfishly, but we got to care about God. And we got to care about the things of God. We got to care about the house of God. We need to return to our first love. I know this is not a very popular message. We want to hear that God will bless us and God will heal us. But we need to wake up sometimes. We need to be shook sometimes because we're comfortable in Zion. Woe to those who are asleep. When God has placed a purpose on every man's life, every woman's life, every child's life, what are you doing with the time you have? What are you doing with the talent you have? We think we have a long time, but I want to give you a wake-up call. Time is not guaranteed to any man, and if you go in the graveyard, you will see young and old. My aim this morning isn't to scare you, but my aim is to bring you up to purpose. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. There is more to you than just eating and drinking and building and making a name for yourself. There is more to life than just living a fat life. Don't be like that rich man who was rich in everything but poor towards God. Don't take time for granted. Don't take time for granted. How different would it have been that if this man left a legacy of goodness, all this money left behind, for who? What good did he do with it? His children will probably squander it because they don't know how hard it came. Again, I'm not saying don't leave an inheritance for your children because a good man leaves an inheritance. But we need to make much with what it is we have. We need to make much with our treasures. We need to make much with our time. We need to make much with our talent. And you have all three of that. Everyone sitting in this congregation, everyone online, you have treasure, you have talent, you have time. Use it for the honor and the glory of the Lord. And you might be saying today, well, that's all good and dandy. I've been giving, I've been doing, but what about when the bottom falls out? What about when the bottom falls out? I want to tell you today, when the bottom falls out, keep pushing. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who cares for you. Keep pushing. When life gets tough and the going gets hard, keep pushing. In Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 25, it talks about a certain synagogue leader. His name was Jairus. And imagine Jairus was at his wit's end. He was a leader in the church, which means he had power. And if you have power, you know you have money, because something that comes along with power is money. And you have access to the good things in life. Amen. Anyone with power have access to good medicine? Anyone with power have access to good medicine? Anyone with power have access to good doctors? Amen. But here Jairus, he had access to money. He had access to the good physician of that time. But it could not have saved his daughter. His daughter was sick. And not was his daughter sick. His daughter was dying. And so this is what it says. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that's Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live." And of course, Jesus being a wonderful Savior and friend and healer and redeemer, he was going to Jairus' house. But who knows that sometimes on the way to blessing, an interception, a curveball can happen. While Jesus was pushing towards the crowd going to Jairus' house, the woman with the issue of blood met him. There was a delay to Jairus' blessing. There was a delay in Jesus coming to the house of Jairus. And on that delay, while Jesus was healing this woman with the issue of blood, the news came, because there was a delay. He said, "Jairus, don't bother the master. Your daughter sleeps. Your daughter died. She's no more. There's no need to bother the master anymore." When the bottom falls out, what do you do? When Jesus was on his way to your house, but it all went haywire. There was an intercept. You were believing for that healing. You were believing for that deliverance, but Jesus didn't show up. You came to prayer meeting. You had the pastor lay his hands on you, but it didn't work. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. And here you are at the point of death. The cancer has taken over. There is no more help for you. What do you do then? I want to encourage you, keep pushing. Amen. Keep pushing. You know, last week I went to the doctor because I was losing my voice. And a lot of you already know that I have rheumatoid arthritis. And that is autoimmune disease, which means it's your immune system attacking your body. And because of that, I get extreme pains. Extreme pains, sometimes I'm not able to move. And I told the doctor, I said, "You know, that I haven't been taking my pills because I'm believing God for my healing, and I've been feeling okay." And the doctor's like, "That's a good thing, but the type of disease you have is not just one that attacks your bone. If you do not take your medication, it attacks your heart also. And it's a type of disease that shuts your heart down. It shuts other major organs down. So you don't have to worry just about your bones. It will kill you." And you know, when the doctor told me that, I felt like this, like my stomach, something dropped in it. Because you believe that you're so young and you have so much life, and here you are thinking that you're feeling better in your bones, but now you have something else to worry about, that you may die early. And you start worrying that you have your kids to live for. You have, you know, all of these things. And how is it that you're facing this? And you have a God that you're serving and you're believing God. And this fear, can I tell you, just took me over. It took me over and made me start feeling all kinds of feelings. And I don't know if that what drove me into being. And most of you know, for the last week and a half, I've been very sick. And I don't know if that kind of catapulted me into this type of sickness and headaches and all of these kinds of things. Because, you know, anxiety brings on a whole lot of issue. So I was there and just feeling so fearful. But I had to lift myself out. And I said, whose report shall I believe? I will believe the report of the Lord, which says that by his stripes I am healed. I am the healed of the Lord. I am walking in wholeness. I am walking in the deliverance of God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I will trust in the Lord. When the bottom falls off, when you're at your wit's end, you just gotta push and you just gotta believe. When the report came to Hezekiah that he will die, Hezekiah turned to the wall and says, God, 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 don't leave me here. And the prophet didn't even have time to walk out of the court. He walked right back in because the word came to him, Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer and I will add 15 years to your life. When the bottom falls off, trust God. When the bottom falls off, trust God. You have one life to live. Don't waste it with fear. Don't waste it believing the report of man. Yes, it may be there, but trust God. Trust God. Declare that I will be great in the land. My children will be great in the land. I will live and not die. I will declare the word of the Lord. He who saves me is faithful to keep me today. When the bottom falls off, trust God. Even when there's a curveball. So there Jairus was. And the word came to Jairus that don't bother the master. Your daughter is dead. Jesus was like, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. And if Jesus is coming to your house, you rest assured that Jesus is coming to your house. He is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man. So trust God. If Jesus is coming to your house, come hell or high water, Jesus is coming to your house. Jesus went to Jairus' house. He entered the room of the young lady. He chased the unbelievers out and he raised her from the dead. Give God a clap offering this morning. If he has done it once, he can do it again. If God has done it one time before, he can surely do it for you and I. When the bottom falls off, keep pushing. If Jesus is coming to your house, he surely will come to your house. It doesn't matter the night. It doesn't matter the hour. It doesn't matter the season. God will show up. And that's all I care about today. God will show up. For my situation, God will show up. God will show up. God will show up. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. When the bottom falls off, keep pushing today. And lastly, I want to tell you, feel the fear, but do it anyways. Feel the fear, but do it anyways. A few weeks ago, I had this dream, and it was from the Lord. I just know it's from the Lord. There are some times when I dream things. I'm not a dreamer, but there are some times when I dream things, I just know it's from God. And I had this dream that I went into this building, and there was a type of witch doctor there. And not just a witch doctor, like an evil, evil man. And he was holding these young people captive. And these people were under demonic oppression and demonic possession. And they were like animals just walking around and just there. And this witch doctor had them like slaves. And so I went into the building, and I was so fearful because there was this darkness. You know, a place void of God, you feel darkness creeping up on your bones. It felt like that in the dream. And so I was in this building. I went up, and I was so fearful. And all I could hear, the Spirit of the Lord telling me, feel the fear, but remain. Feel the fear, but remain. Feel the fear, but remain. And I was there, and I said, in the name of Jesus. And I was shaking because it was just myself, and I'm just surrounded. And I was just, but then I heard, feel the fear, but remain. I said, in the name of Jesus. And somehow, I was able to free those young people, and deliverance came. Right after that, that same night, I had a second dream. I dreamt we were in this other building. Minister Dahl was there, and Pastor Sam was there. And again, it was a dream where young people were under demonic oppression. And you know, human trafficking, there were these girls, and they were trapped as sex slaves. And I was so afraid again, but all I could hear in my spirit, feel the fear, but do it anyways. Feel the fear, but remain. And somehow we escape. And I didn't see Minister Dahl anymore. And I said, what happened? She said, I was able to free the girl. And then, amen. The entire building became free. Because we felt the fear, but we remain. Amen. Faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is not the absence of fear. It is feeling the fear, but going forth and trusting God anyways. Amen? In Judges chapter 5 to 7, we see the story of Gideon. And there Gideon, the angel of the Lord, appeared to him and said, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon was there. Who, me? You can't be talking to me. Here I am hiding, threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. No, it can't be me. But God says, yes, you. Amen. And then God says, I chose you to bring deliverance to Israel. And Gideon, if you know anything about Gideon, Gideon was a fearful man. And there he was ready for battle. But then he put a fleece out and he says, God, If you're with me, let the dew be on the fleece and the ground remain dry. I just want to know you're with me, God. I just want to know that you're going to deliver me. And God did the miracle. God allowed the fleece to become wet and the ground around him to be dry. just to reassure Gideon that he's with him. Again, Gideon wasn't sure. He was fearful. Here he is, one man going up against the armies of the Midianites. And he said, God, don't be mad at me. I'm scared. I don't know how to do this thing. Because all I've been doing is running and hiding from the enemy. The enemy has been pushing us against the wall. We have nowhere to go. Please don't be mad at me. So he tested God a second time. He said, God, if indeed you are with me, now let the ground be wet and let the fleece be dry. Amen. And God did it again. God wasn't angry with Gideon. When we are feeling fearful and when we are scared, God expects us to go before him. When we cannot take the trials of life anymore, when we cannot do what it is we have been called to do, when we're scared, fearful, full of anxiety, God wants you to run to him. His word says to be anxious for nothing. And it didn't say keep it all in. It says bring it to me. A lot of times when we say don't be anxious, you think that you got to put on this supernatural strength. But when we say don't be anxious, it means lay everything upon Jesus. It means run to him when you are afraid. Run to him when you're drifting. Run to him. When you feel yourself falling again, run to him. Because in his presence, the Bible says that Jesus' peace will keep your mind. Philippians 4, after he says to bring your supplication, he said, the peace of God shall keep your mind. Who knows that the battle is in the mind? Battles are won and lost in the mind. But the Bible says that when you bring it before Jesus, when you bring it before the good Father, he's going to keep you. Your mind won't rage anymore. The peace of God in Christ Jesus will keep you. We all face difficulties in life. And some of us get way more than we bargain for. But today I want you to put it before the Lord. When I was studying for my degree, I read a book from Ken Nichols, and he talked about something called the circle of control and the circle of concern. The circle of control and the circle of concern. And he says to help your mind, you got to understand where your situation falls into, or what part of your situation falls into what circle. The circle of control is all the things that you can do about the situation. For instance, if you don't have a job and you need a job, I have two circles. The circle of control, the circle of concern. In the circle of control, I am able to build my resume. I am able to go on Indeed.com and send out my resumes to employers. And in the circle of concern are the things that I cannot control. The things that are beyond what it is I can do. So the response of the employers, I don't control their response. I don't control whether or not they're going to see my resume. I don't control whether or not I get this job. But that, I will take my circle of concern before the Lord. I am not going to worry about the things I cannot control. Instead, I will bring it before the Lord. Every situation that you're facing today, everything that is taking over your mind, everything that you cannot deal with, I want you to make a circle of concern and a circle of control. Amen. And start getting your mind, hallelujah, tuned to think in this way. The things that I cannot control, I will bring it before the Lord. And the things that I could control, I will do something about it. Amen. Instead of sitting there worrying, stressed out, bringing sickness upon your body, instead, bring it, put it in the circle of concern, and bring it before the Father. Amen. Amen. We need to be wise. In Proverbs, it is least with wisdom calling out to the simple. From the beginning of Proverbs until the end of Proverbs, it is a book about wisdom calling out. And there is one verse that says that wisdom has made her house. She spread her bed, she put on fresh linen, and she set her table. And after she has done that, that's when she went into the streets calling out. Are you hearing the voice of wisdom today? If we hear the voice of wisdom, we're going to come into peace. We're going to come into joy. We're going to come into relaxation. Wisdom is calling out. Back to the scripture, Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We have to walk as wise today because we are the hope for the world. And if we do not have hope for our own life, how is it we can offer it to someone else? There's this song by Ellie Holcomb. It says, I will carry you. And I want to read the lyrics to you today. It says, I know you're tired. I see it in your eyes. All that anxiety that rules your mind. I will be your shield when you don't feel like it. You've got strength enough to fight. I will stand by your side. I will carry you through your darkest night. When you're terrified, I will carry you. When the waters rise, when your hope runs dry, I will carry you. You are not the sum of your mistakes. You don't have to hide the parts of you that aches. I choose you as you are a million times. Because I am not ashamed of you. I won't walk away from you. I will carry you. Through your darkest night, when you are terrified, I will carry you. When the waters rise, when your hope runs dry, I will carry you. And that's such a beautiful scripture today. It's a beautiful scripture of hoping in Jesus. That even in your darkest hour, God will carry you through. Do the work of God today. Do what it is He has called you to. He will bring you to that expected end. You have one life to live. Don't waste it. Don't live it in fear. Amen. There's a legacy for you to live. There's a legacy for you to leave behind. Change the narrative of your story today. Don't waste your life. And I will close with this. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. What a beautiful promise that is today. What a beautiful promise that is today. Live bold. Live strong. Live courageous. Live in Jesus today. And I promise you, He will give you beauty for ashes. I promise you, He will give you that beautiful life that He promised you. Amen. Do we receive that today? If you receive that today, give Jesus a clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us stand and we will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear God, that you have breathed your breath into our lungs, oh God. We have the breath of life, and we thank you for that life today. We thank you, dear God, that everyone who represented it here today have a purpose, oh God. There is purpose to their life, oh Jesus. Even if they don't feel like it, oh God, there is a reason they are here today. They are hope carriers, oh God. You have built them to last, oh Jesus. You have built them to go forward, oh Jesus. A mighty man of valor, a mighty woman, hallelujah. You have called them to thrive, oh God. You have called them to be the head and not the tail. And I pray, dear God, that they will run forward in you in the name of Jesus. And like Moses, oh God, you will go before us, oh Jesus. And where you lead, we will follow today. Where you lead, Jesus, we will follow. You are the good Father, the good Shepherd, and our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. And today, dear Father, we will not take time for granted. When the bottom falls out, we will keep pushing. And God, we will feel the fear, but do it anyways. We thank you and we praise you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.